Good. Good to be with you. So what are we talking about this year? Anybody remember from last time? Ice cream? Yeah. Armor of God. Thanks, Brady. Someone was listening. No, yeah, we're talking about the armor of God. Matt kicked it off last month. It was good. Talked about the that we're in a battle, right? Wanted to read the verses, Ephesians 6, to remind us. Just where we are. So we're in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 14. We're going to be talking about the belt of truth tonight, but we'll read these verses first to just get us back in the headspace after having food and snacks and fun and all that. So it says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. It's good. It's a good reminder. So the Apostle Paul wanted to exhort the church in Ephesus, that's who he's writing to in these verses. Wanted to remind them that they're in a spiritual battle. Wanted to remind them that they are able to stand firm in the battle. If we're told to stand firm, we must be able to do that. He talked about the different ways that the Christian can be protected in this battle, right? And that is the armor of God. There's a number of pieces of the armor that we're going to take each month. And today, we're talking about the belt. Brothers, we need to remember that we are in a battle. It might not always look that way, especially in our culture and our cushy lives that we have, really, ultimately, more so than the people that were reading this letter and so many people even today. We need to remember that we have an armor from God that we can put on, that he's given us in many ways we already have on. We need to be reminded that we have it on. We need to walk in the truth of that. So tonight, we're going to talk about the belt of truth. Truth is important, right? We kind of saw that even in the example here, that what did the truth start out with, and it's distorted by the end, right? Going through all these words, is the Bible, is it true? What is truth? How do we know truth? All those things, right? Our world is in need of truth so badly. It's not really considered a thing anymore, truth, right? Not at least objective truth. Everybody today has their truth. Everybody, it's how I feel, how you feel. What's your truth? What's my truth? What's their truth? Is their truth? There is no truth. And all in between, people believe everything or they believe nothing. In 1 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul also wrote a letter to the church there talking about the end times that we're approaching and we're going to be approaching. And in that time, there would be a deceiver that would come along and trick the world into believing all sorts of lies, right? Said he will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. And I'm not saying we are, in fact, in the end times right now. Don't hear that from me. But we are headed there, and we have been headed there since these words were written 2,000 years ago. We've been headed there. And this verse is no more applicable today. It's so very applicable today, just like it was 2,000 years ago. And we have a culture that is turning away from truth, right? It's only going to bring harm and pain and destruction. And it's easy for us, right, for us to just kind of believe some of those lies too. We have a world that grabs something that is evil and they hold it up and they call it good. And we have a world, a culture that takes something that is good and it casts it down and calls it evil. And sadly, again, we can be tempted, we can be invited, we can fall in line to participate in that as well. Whether it's by the culture, whether it's our sinful nature, our flesh, or the devil, we can easily be duped into falling in line, right? Do you feel that pull? I feel that pull all the time. I need to know what is true. Have any of you watched the new Rings of Power show? It's pretty cool. Maybe you like it, maybe you don't. I thought it was pretty cool. There was a line that was spoken in that I wanted to share with you. It really stood out to me as I was thinking about this, giving this talk, and it just was really beautiful, actually. There's a conversation between Galadriel and this boy named Theo, and they're talking about battle and war, and Theo says it's awesome. Like he replies to Galadriel that it's awesome that you killed so many orcs. He's like, good, that's so great. And her response really caught me off guard though. She said, I would never use that language. I wouldn't say that's good. I wouldn't use that language. And she says this, it darkens the heart to call dark deeds good. It gives place for evil to thrive inside us. Every war is fought both without and within. Of that, every soldier must be mindful, even I, even you. It can be so easy in our culture, right? Whether we realize it or not, it can be easy to give up the idea that we're soldiers in a battle and just fall in line and think about what the world calls good and what the world calls evil, and we can get confused if we are not careful. But we need to remember, guys, we are in a battle. We are soldiers. We're not in a cultural battle, an ideology battle. We're not in a battle against our neighbor. We're not in a battle against somebody across a political line. We are not in a battle that is for some land or some country or a government or a political party. All of those things are going to burn one day. We are in a battle for the king, for the kingdom. We are called to be soldiers in that. We don't need to be shouting people down. We don't need to be outsmarting the other side. We don't need to be yelling. We need to take up the tools and the armor that God has given us. We're soldiers of the king, right? The Lord of heaven's armies, as Mac told us last month, right? The Lord of heaven's armies, that's who we're fighting for. We're in a spiritual battle that is being fought at all times. And if we are in Christ, if you are in Christ, you are a target of the enemy. Because he wants to trip you up. He wants to make you ineffective in this battle. He wants to make you ineffective for the kingdom. So we need the protection of the truth. That's what we're going to talk about. The protection of the truth for our life. The protection that the belt of truth gives us. So I'm going to pray and then we'll talk more about the belt of truth. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you are king. We thank you that you are Lord of heaven's armies. Thank you that you are on your throne and we can trust you. We want to submit to you now, Lord, even in these next few minutes. Would you speak to us? Would you speak to us through your word? Would you speak to us by your spirit? Would you show us what is true, Lord? We need you. We commit our time to. We ask for you to speak through me, Lord. Your words would go out, not my own. We need you. We love you, and we pray this in your name. Amen. So I wanted to take a look at the couple different ways that the different translations talk about verse 14 in Ephesians 6. That's pretty interesting. If you see a common theme, obviously, it's the same words, but some of the words are different. And so I like to do this from time to time when I study, especially one verse. The ESV, we already read that. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. That's pretty straightforward. The NIV says, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. The New Living Translation says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. The NAS, stand firm. Again, there's that firm. Therefore, having belted your waist with truth. And then finally, just always one I get a kick out of is King James, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. We should talk like that more often. Let's talk about what the belt that Paul would have been referring to, right? What was the context? What was Paul having in his mind as he was speaking about the armor and specifically about the belt tonight? We know Paul grew up in the Roman civilization, right? In the Roman territory, there would have been Roman soldiers all around making sure that people were not out of line. So he would have seen a lot of soldiers in that time in armor. But armor and belts were very different in that day, right? In ancient times. And in ancient times, everyone wore something like this, a tunic, basically like a giant bag with a hole cut in it for your head. It was like basically like wearing a flowy dress. Right? You didn't need a belt to hold your pants up. It was attached to your shoulders. You had built-in suspenders. It was great. So no pants were falling down, no moons that we're seeing that we see today. So why a belt? They had no loops around them, right? But if you were going into battle and you were wearing this dress type of thing, if it was below your knees, many of them were below their knees, it would trip you up, right? I'm assuming most of you haven't worn a dress and run in it. But if you had like a trench coat on, right, and it's all buttoned up, if you went to run, your legs are this, right? So they would take this belt, they would tie it around, they'd pull their tunic up, tuck it in so that it was above their knees. They'd be free to run, right? And not have an issue of tripping, right? So if they were gonna go from that to this, the first piece of equipment that they would put on as a soldier was the belt. That's why Paul speaks of the belt first. The soldier would have, again, pulled up this leather belt. It would have leather tassels hanging down in the front. You'd tuck your tunic in, be less flowy. You'd be able to grab your sword. If you went to grab your sword, your hand wouldn't get caught in all this extra fabric, right? It was tucked away. It was made to just make everything a lot more efficient. The belt, it held it all together. You'd pull it up above your knees. You wouldn't trip. And in a battle, if you didn't have a belt, you were ill-prepared, right? You were unprotected. You would not be ready to fight. Even that one piece of equipment made you ready to fight. I appreciated this slide I found, so I wanted to read some of the things. It says the leather belt was tied around a wool tunic. It was connected bronze plates hung from the belt to protect the soldier's groin area. Don't need to explain to you why you needed that. We all appreciate that. If you were a catcher in baseball, you know you need that. I was, and you needed that. So I think this is interesting, though. The belt, it would support your sword, your dagger, your bronze apron. It was worn at all times, even without the other pieces of armor. What's interesting is the breastplate that they would put on to cover the big old, like, gladiator-looking thing would actually tuck into the belt. If you didn't have the belt, it all fell apart from there. So the belt is very important. The belt brought order and peace, or order and security and readiness to the soldier. That's why you would start with the belt. It was very important. And for us in a battle, we need to understand, like 1 Corinthians says, we need to be on guard. We need to be standing firm. We need to be courageous and strong, and we need to be ready. That's a big part of a battle, is being ready for it. If you're caught off guard, that's not good. You're tripped up. Tunics flow on everywhere, you know? That would be difficult. So we need a belt. In our day, we have a number of uses for belts, though, right? It's not just to hold your pants up, though many times we want to give one to somebody when we see their pants falling down, right? But it's not just for belt, for your pants, right? Today we have, like, say if you're a police officer and you have a belt for a reason, right? You have your handcuffs and your extra ammo and you have your taser and all those things, and there's an order to it. You put it in the same place so you know when time comes, you know where to grab, right? If you're a police officer and you don't have your belt, you are not in order. If you have your belt and things are not in place, you are not in order. You're not ready, right? Likewise, if you're on an airplane, right, you have a seatbelt, what's the first thing they tell you all the time? Secure your belt across your lap, right? And then even if you're sitting down, you never know, you might hit turbulence. There's a reason to have that. There's a security to have a belt on your lap. If you don't have your lap belt on and you hit turbulence, you are not secure. You're not ready, right? If you're playing sports, you need a belt, right? If you're playing baseball, you need a belt. If you are playing basketball, you need a drawstring to tighten things up. If you don't have that, your pants are falling down, you can't play, you can't be concentrating, you are not ready, right? There's not a readiness to play. So you need a belt, you need a drawstring, you need something to tighten your pants up and to have you ready. It's about being prepared. Putting on the belt first in our armor is about understanding, it's reminding ourselves that we are in a battle. We are prepared, and if we're not prepared, there can be a lot of damage in our life. Using one of those examples, there was a time in my life I was not ready, I was not in order, I was not secure. One night when I was 13 years old, I was in a car, I did not wear my seatbelt, and we were in a head-on collision going 50 miles an hour down a hill. And I was in the back seat, hit the seat in front of me. They said I should have been dead or brain dead. Honestly, it's a miracle of God that I'm here. Today, I was not ready. I was not secure. And there was havoc. There just was. My face got all broken up. I had to have surgery. I was in the hospital. Was touch and go there for a while. Broke my nose. Had to have my face reconstructed. All these things. So there was a lack of security. There was a lack of readiness. There was a lack of being prepared by not having my belt on. Right? So it's a little different from the Roman soldier thing, but there's a readiness. There's a putting on our belt. There's a security in all of this. We have to be ready. We have to be ready for the battle. We have to be ready for our parenting. We have to be ready in our marriage. We have to be ready for our job to be a light, like Chris was talking about, looking to share the gospel with people. If we are not ready, if we're not putting on the belt and reminding ourselves, we will not be ready. So Paul started with the belt as an imagery to be ready for the battle. The truth brings this same thing, right? It's the belt of truth. If we don't have the truth, we do not have order. We do not have security. We do not have readiness. We must apply the truth to our lives daily. As we test everything we do in life by the truth, we find strength and protection and readiness and security and order in combat of our life. If we are living in falsehood, if we are not aligned with the truth, if we are following the deception of the deceiver, if we are lying, if we are not men of integrity, we are not prepared for the battle. If we are not aligning our lives and girding up our loins, right? If we are not getting ready and aligning our heart's affections with God's truth, if we are not trying to come under his authority, I'm not saying we be perfect. If we're not aligning ourselves, though, and submitting to our king, we are not ready for the battle. We're not living in the truth. In the words of the great Michael Scott, he said, "Satan is the master of lies. Everything he says is the opposite," right? Or he's talking about Toby, but that is true though, right? Satan is the master of lies. He is going to lie to you, brother. He's gonna lie to you about who you are. He's gonna lie to you about who God is, who God says you are. He's going to lie to you about the church, right? Like Brian was talking about last week. He's gonna lie to you about what the Bible says, right? What Josh talked about this past weekend. He's gonna lie to you about what's important in life. The devil wants us to walk in lies. Walk according to the opposite of the truth, right? To tell lies, to believe lies, to behave and walk in lies, to be tossed around and drowning in the cesspool of multiple unknown truths, right? Just what a mess our world is in. Just what is truth? He wants us to be in that place, but Jesus, what did he say? He wants us to stand firm in the truth. We need to be secure in the truth. We need to have the order and the security and the readiness that the belt of truth brings. The truth that is found in Christ's teaching and the truth of the Bible, teachings passed from Jesus to the apostles and then taught to us, the truth that Paul spoke about, again, in 2 Thessalonians. He said in verse 15 of chapter 2, "Stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you." There was a truth being taught. And there was a ability to stand firm in that truth. And then in Ephesians, Paul said, this is the reason why the apostles and the were given and pastors and elders were given to teach the truth was for this purpose, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. There's a security, there's an order, there's a readiness in the truth. The truth secures us, it protects us. It brings order into every part of our life. I want us to understand, though, that this isn't necessarily just the content of the Bible, right? It's not just knowing the verses and knowing the words. All of that's really great. So let me give you a quick disclaimer, though. We believe every word of the book, right? Josh said that this past weekend. We believe it's true. Josh did an amazing job unpacking and the blessing that the book gives us and brings in our lives. And I say amen to everything he shared. We need to read it and study it and walk in it. We need to know what it claims as the truth. We do. But we're going to see later in these verses in Ephesians 6 that Paul talks about the Bible being the sword of the Spirit as well. The Bible, right? The Word of God. That is the sword of the Spirit that we have for this battle. In this sense, the truth, though, is not just the content and the exact words and the verses. It is the whole person of the truth. It's the truth about the person that the truth of the book is about, right? We need to put our hope and be ready in the security, the truth, the belt of truth. We need to put on the belt of truth of the person who is the truth. We need to gird up our loins in knowing him and being known by him. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said that I am the way and the truth and the life, right? And he said in John 8, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Typo there. So if we know Jesus, if we know the truth, if we listen to his teachings, if we truly seek to know him and put him on, we will know the truth and the truth will set us free. We need to hold fast and be held fast by the truth. To be set free from bondage, set free from sin, set free from the muck, and set firmly on the rock to stand in truth. And while, yes, we need to put on the truth in some personal subjective sense, like that is true, the truth telling, to walk in the truth, striving to live according to the truth, in that personal way, I believe Paul also wants us to be reminded to put on the truth objectively, like the big picture, putting on the truth of the gospel, which is our identity, our security, our future, our hope in Jesus that he accomplished on the cross. Not just, again, knowing the truth and putting that on, but to walk in who we are in the truth, right? We talked about that a few weeks ago. Bill talked about our identity being transformed by who God says we are. The work that he completed on the cross. Billy Graham said this, I love this quote, "The mark of a true Christian is found in his personal relationship to the person of Jesus Christ." Christianity is Christ. Christ is Christianity. I speak reverently when I say that Jesus is more than his ideas. All that he said was true, but without him, even the truth would have been powerless. That's crazy. Men, know the power of truth, and truth is which sets men free. Jesus said, I am the truth. Each and every day, we need to put on the belt of truth of what Jesus has done and who he has made us to be, right? We need to put that identity, that truth on. Live in light of the truth, despite how we feel. We need to be reminded of this. We need brothers who are going to remind us. We need times like this to be reminded. We need to call each other to this and be the brother that reminds each other of this. We need to call our children, lead our spouses, lead our church through this. Point to the truth. We need to put on the belt that Jesus has already put on as well. We need to understand that Jesus has led the way in doing this. The armor of Jesus is foretold in the Old Testament. Paul was steeped in this. So it wasn't just the Roman soldiers that Paul saw all the time. There's an amazing imagery of the Messiah and who he was to be and who he is that Paul would have known inside and out, like the back of his hand in the Old Testament, that Jesus was the image of the armor of God. I want to share this with you real quick and then we'll wrap up and have some discussion. But Paul would have had Christ's armor in mind when writing this. And so I want to share with you in Isaiah where it talks about the belt that the Messiah was to have. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. And then verse 5, righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. So we need to understand that Jesus is the warrior king. He is the ultimate soldier. He has won the war, and he will return to claim his ultimate victory. He has given us an armor that he wears. And he will make us like him as we put on this armor, as we walk in the truth that we have this armor on. We don't have to do good and be good and all this work on our own to put on this armor, to win the victory. Jesus has already won the victory. We just need to put Jesus on. We need to walk in the truth that we have. If you've placed your faith in Jesus, you have put him on and you can walk in that armor. Guys, to be honest, I can read Ephesians 6. I can struggle with this so much. I can read verses like this and think, all right, in the morning I have to like have some ceremony that I'm like, you know, put on this belt and like remind myself because I just forget if I don't physically do it. But we need to realize that Jesus already wears this armor and has already put it on me. I need to be reminded of that. I don't have to do some work to put on the belt of truth. I just need to walk in it, to not forget it. I need to know and I need to walk like I've already suited up, right? This is the truth of who Jesus has made us to be. This is true of you, brothers. When you put on Jesus, this is true. Psalm 112, 6 says, surely the righteous will never be shaken, right? Jesus' belt is righteousness. He has made us right. He has made us righteous. And we can walk in that and act like that. And I need this reminder. I struggle with this. When I sin, when I mess up, when I'm not walking in truth, when I'm pulled into those lies that the culture tells us, right? I need to know Jesus has already put his righteousness on me. And then this can be our prayer. Psalm 86, teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness, not on my faithfulness. I'm not faithful. Jesus is faithful. His belt is righteousness and faithfulness. And that is the belt of truth that I can put on. So brothers, be reminded of what Christ has done for you. Put on the gospel armor. We must be prepared. We need to be ready. We need to be reminded that we're in a battle, right? And sometimes putting on armor, putting on a uniform, right? I saw my dad put on military uniform almost every day. You know, I saw it. Maybe you've played sports. You put on a uniform. Sometimes the uniform's not just this practical thing that helps us to like for the job. Sometimes it reminds us of who we are, right? As you're putting it on, you're like, oh yeah, I'm a soldier. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go play sports. I'm with a team, I'm with somebody. I'm working for a greater cause than me. It's not just like, oh, I really need this belt. It's like, oh, this belt makes me someone. Jesus has made me someone and I can put this belt on, right? We need to be reminded of what our purpose is. Life, and we need to walk in that, in our lives. We need to be pulled together and ready to serve for God's glory. We are in a battle and to help the king win more people to himself, right? That's the purpose of this. That's why we have armor. We're not just walking around as soldiers with no aim. We have a battle to call others to join us, to join the battle, to become a soldier, to recruit more. We need the gospel armor to be doing that. Jesus believed the truth, guys. He believed what was in the book. He believed in the truth of who he was, of his the truth of his Father. Jesus believed the scripture, and everything he did was informed by that. He looked at the world through that lens, the truth found in his Father. And our world needs that truth. A life lived in the security of truth, right? When talking to others, it can be so easy. Who don't believe, you know, non-believers, it can be easy to shy away, to shrink back, to not want to seem crazy, right? To not seem like, does that guy really think he has armor on? Like, woohoo, cuckoo, you know? But we need, may we stand firm. May we gird up our loins, right? Like, tighten your belt up a notch. Ratchet it up a notch so that we can stand in who Jesus has made us and the purpose he has given us to walk in the truth of who Jesus is. Right? To put on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's do that. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. We thank you for tonight. We thank you for the truth, Jesus, of who you are and what you've done for us. Would you help us to walk in that, Lord? Would you give us, you promise us, Lord, the security, the ability to stand firm with you. Would you help us? Would you remind us of that? Would you help us believe that, Lord, as we read your word, as we pray to you, as we walk in your spirit? Would you help us to believe that truly, Lord, as we put on the belt of truth? Would you help us to stand firm, to fight the good fight, to battle, to walk in the truth, to be truthful? Lord, how often the enemy just wants to keep us in the dark, in a half-truth, in a lie, in darkness. Lord, you call us to the light. You call us to be free in you, in the truth, to be set free in that, Lord. Would you help any brother here that feels that tonight, that they're not free? Would you help them to walk in the truth, to tell the truth, to put on the belt of truth, Jesus? Would you help us, Lord? Be with us now as we discuss, Lord. Help us to really just open up about what's going on in our lives, Lord. You call us to bear each other's burdens, to be brothers, to link arms. Would you help us to do that now? Lord, we love you. We pray this in your name. Amen.